Hello, patrons. Welcome to the Puss Show here for episode 101. We're joined by an old guy who's gotten into...
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thanks for joining us, Mr.
Good. What?
Yeah.
I'm the oldest viewer of Court of Swords. Been watching you forever. I sound a little bit like Shadrach, too, for some reason.
Yeah, this is just Shadrach's disguise.
You look like every old man from a Miyazaki cartoon. Like...
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. I had it at my desk. I found this the other day and it's fun. Spicing up that post show.
Yeah. you gotta bring it for the patrons. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to know, and I don't know if Adam / Dan can tell us this, but what the fuck did he roll? Will you divulge this, or do you want to keep it a secret?
Well, so the Dungeon Master's Guide has tables for what happens if characters experience like mind damaging shit.
Okay.
So I rolled on some of those tables. I don't necessarily want to tell you what I rolled, but that's the table. I rolled on a few of the madness related tables.
I see. Okay. All right. Can I ask questions to poke holes in theories?
Yeah, if you want to. I may tell you no comment, but...
Is Ramus gone as a character?
No.
Okay. I think that will satiate all questions that I have.
That's good. Yeah.
Yes. No. I won't tell you what will like recover him, but yes, Ramus is still, he's still around. And for fans who are watching and who are like frantically looking through their DMGs, remember, I almost always like mess with this stuff. So like, even though like the giant today, like that was just a storm giant, but I tweaked a bunch of its stats and I changed the type of weapon that it had. I turned its lightning bolt thing into a beam. So, you know, that's what I do. So don't necessarily take exactly what you find on those pages to be canon, but that's where I started for rolling those things.
Cool.
No, I actually, during the break, I looked up like the biggest or the giant I could think of, just to see if the Stunning Strike would have at least a chance of hitting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, the one I looked up was like a +5 or +8 to con save. And I'm like, with Adam, that probably gets up to +10 or +11. So like, there is a chance. It's not a good one. I mean, it's like maybe a 1 in 10 chance, like a 10% chance that it'll actually hit. But, you know, it's worth it. Let's try it, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can, let's jump back to the start of the episode. I think Mahareeb was pretty annoyed right out of the gate with, quote, the soul version of Ramus. Dan was playing it up, as the Ramus that I think we once knew on the show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way. But I think that was eventually going to rub Mahareeb the wrong way. Also, we should talk about the exchange that happened between Ramus and Berg, because I think Dan is a player meant for what he said to be interpreted a different way than what Max actually interpreted as his character.
Well, no, so actually, I saw Max talking about this. I think what happened was that Ramus said the thing, Berg responded away, and I responded in the same way, but I think we both picked up on what Ramus was actually saying, but it's fun. Like, go ahead, you guys talk about it, because what were you trying to say there, Dan, when you were talking to
Berg? What I was trying to say to Berg was that you have a new body and stuff, but I can still see all of your old flaws you keep holding on to. I can still see the baggage in your eyes. You're holding on to all those people that have died, and that you still serve other people, like you're serving me and Mahareeb. You're not being your own person anymore. Like you haven't changed much, even though your whole body has changed.
Yeah,
kind of what like he was going for there.
Yeah, and Berg too. Like it made sense for Berg not having a lot of intelligence to not know exactly what you meant by that, and took it as like, "What you're still? I'm still like a slave to you. Like that? Like I'm still like that former? You know what's wrong with me now? You know kind of deal." You've changed, Berg, you know,
right.
I, as a player, know what he was trying to say, but it made sense for Berg to misinterpret that. And that's why instead of like one, we had to move and we're talking about like getting to the next thing and moving out. It made sense for Berg to, you know, move forward and be like, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk later. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting because that's one way, a very subtle way to like acknowledge a character's not totally like a lower wisdom, right? Where you're like, instead of having the emotional intelligence to figure out what they mean, because sometimes people say things and they come out the wrong way, and you can sit there and be like, okay, they probably didn't mean it like that, and figure out what they meant. But instead, when you don't know what somebody means, you will just pick the worst thing. And so saying to Berg, like, yeah, your body, you don't have like the slave's body anymore, but I see it in your eyes. You're still a slave, man, on the inside. And like, that's so much more hurtful. Like, your chains aren't real. Yeah. The chains are, you're making them up for yourself.
Yeah.
You're a slave because of you. And like, that's just so like, oh, it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. It's super good. I keep feeling like there's going to be this moment somewhere down the line where the only way for Ramus to like free Berg is to be like, listen, man, the only thing you're still holding on to is me. So I'm done, and just like sacrifices himself for some, like, you know, like I feel like that's this, they have this weird relationship where like Ramus is such an like a user, and Berg needs somebody to like boss him around, but then Ramus puts him down for being so like easy to push around. It's such a good relationship. And like D&D is giving us exactly none of that. Like that's 100% Dan and Max.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to watch for sure. I think the, inverse, rather, Maharib finally like let Yota in as a friend in the beginning, and then at the end, the fucking drunk Yota just really pissed Maharib off. So he said the one thing that I think would just decimate Yota as a character.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, and he'll have to deal with that. I also think to even go before we even approach the conversation, you made a role as well. My interpretation of the role is that you can get drunk a lot quicker now or some shit. Cause that, I think that I feel like that's what happened, or you're just drunk. Cause it seeming, it was literally out of nowhere for us that you were just like a drunken elephant.
And well, so like that's, he said, he's like, that. I wanted to say this during the show, but as we were traveling along, I was just drinking every like step of the way.
Okay.
Like, and we weren't talking, we were traveling. So it would just head down, keep going. And this is the first time you heard him speak that day. So this is the first time you noticed that, like, was he like you, if you remember back, you can be like, I see him drinking out of that jug, but he's doing a lot more.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
normal. If you really think back to it, like every time you kind of like, look at me to like point a direction to go, you saw me like just tipping on that thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that like, yeah. I mean, I think the actions were, you know, speak the thoughts of Maharib and definitely of Yota, for sure. So we'll see what happens there. We're kind of breaking off as well from Yota unless he follows us, but I'm curious to see how that goes.
You'll end up in the same place, right? Because the peasants are just gonna like adopt him and be like, hey man, it's okay. Like this is hard. They recognize you, right? They know your name. They're like, oh, you must be the prodigal son. Like a lot of people know the story of in this area of the world of the Kell family and their one kid who went off to do his own thing.
Okay.
And like they gossip, right? Because they're like the royal family, so everybody's gossipy. And so this family is like, okay, buddy, like they just assume you're scared to go and see your dad again. And so you've been drinking and like, you know, they understand. So they're going to help you get there.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And since this is the Patreon video, I don't mind like kind of revealing what the deal is with the, what Adam rolled. And someone in the community, like forums, like actually nailed it as far as what tables, but
yeah.
The mirror has made me think that being drunk keeps me sane.
Great.
So he feels
played on me. Yeah.
Great. He feels like whatever awful thing that he saw is like going to come back if he sobers up. He can't remember what it is, but he has this anxiety, this terror, that whatever it is, it'll come back to him if he doesn't stay drunk all the time.
Man.
Which is interesting given that he's a drunken monk and like normally is so in control of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at least I can definitely see some like fun interactions coming up if it keeps going that way, which I think it's going to, where Yota just continues to drink, which is fun for me, I think, as a player, because he's got to deal with, not deal, but he has to factor in the fact that like he sees Yota now is finally, I think, in his relationship thus far is like an equal and as a friend. And then he just kind of sees him fucking making a fool of himself. And he has no idea why, except he just thinks that he's drinking a lot all of a sudden. So that'll be a fun thing as well. If Berg doesn't kill him first. Berg's probably pretty focused on Ramus right now. So
yeah,
anything to kind of impede that might upset Berg from my point of view. We will see. We could talk a little bit about that fight as well. I thought that was a fun encounter. Usually it's a little bit annoying when it's like, oh, you know, he's two maps away. But no, I thought it was super fun.
I just love that giants can throw boulders like 250 feet. And I was like, as soon as he sees them, he's just going to fucking start long bombing those things. Yeah. And then you have to run as fast as you can in some direction or another while you're being shelled by the fucking Germans from across the line. And I knew like, this is how D&D works. Like, he's a creature with lots of hit points, bullshit low AC for a monster that level, because they all are. And no legendary action. So I knew as soon as he got to him, you'd grind him up. So I was like, well, you're in the jungle. There's a lot of shit between you and them. And I'm going to hit you as much as I can before you get there. So you're nice and squishy. And then it becomes like an actually fun fight, because if you're in an open terrain, Maharib, you'd just be like, we all run up together and just rip the fucking shit out of this dude.
Yeah.
But this way you had to do a little maneuvering while getting shit thrown at you, but it wasn't so overwhelming because it was just one guy. He could only throw one boulder or do one laser or whatever a turn. So
yeah,
I thought that one worked out. Okay.
Show the strength of Yota, like his fucking movement. Was impressive how fast he got to that giant. Like, we were still a map behind at one point.
and that was the other thing that I wanted to do is show that, like, in a flat out, we start within 30 feet of the enemy knockout fight, monks don't tend to have a lot going for them. But if there's difficult terrain, if there's shit to like bounce off of, if moving around, like, if you didn't get that free 10-foot movement and like save up a little bit of your regular move, he would have just ground you into dust. Like, he would have just wailed on you. But the fact that you were like, Maharib can be within range and take a hit, but for you, you just get out of range. So it's like, well, he's got this big sword, but you're like way over there. Now I got to deal with somebody else.
Yeah,
that free disengage is tits. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, it's after so like after a flurry of blows, you do have to spend one to get flurry. Once you're done with that, you get a free disengage and a 10 extra feet to get, you know, to book or whatever. But also, like, the running up to them, like, the bonus action dodge action is fucking phenomenal for that. Like, I could run 50 feet, or excuse me, 100 feet if I do a double move. And on top of that, get the dodge action is pretty great.
Yeah.
Because I had like two rounds or three rounds before anybody else even got up there. Like, Ramus can do rain shit, but like, it would have been so much more impressive if I didn't have rounds where I missed every hit.
You rolled really
bad. You had some shitty rolls.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt his average
Jim. Dude.
Yeah, none of that's up.
We should look. None of that is your fault, but like, it's that chaos plateau, yo. It's the dice being like, guess what? Fuck you. You're
like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Well, because on a good round, like, I can do like between 30 and 40 damage, like on a good round. And there were two rounds where I did almost like zero damage. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it was fun. I would have loved it if I could have like threw that wine jug into the knee and like stunned him, like broke his, like, you know, chipped his knee or something like that. And he went down for a round or something. That would have been awesome. But
I did really like, though, that you guys were playing. You're playing super tactically in terms of picking what abilities to use against them and like trying to guess what his saving throws were and going after the weaker saving throws. Like, that's some good shit.
Yeah.
It was a good tactical play. I like that.
I was also,
I thought for sure in the fog there would be like little guys.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to do something with those trees first. I thought that was some shit that was going to happen with the trees. You're like, oh, so these odd little mushroom fungus things are going to come
second
after you.
Second dance, all those. I was like, we're fucked.
The lore stuff behind the fungus shit, that'll become clear later, or it might not if it doesn't come up. But the mechanical thing was that's how the giant can see everything that's going on in the forest all the time, because he can see through those eyes. Because people were like, well, how can he see them from so far away? And I'm like, he's got eyes everywhere, man. Eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. Which also means that whoever created those eyes can also see what you guys are doing and has been like following you around. So
that's true.
I get to do the supervillain thing. I get to do the supervillain thing where you show up to see Grave Dirt and she's like, "I've been waiting for you." Right. <Yes. I'm> like
Yeah.
He was literally Big Brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I imagine we could get to the West kind of thing, looking in the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just a giant scrying pool or something like
and that's
that.
Why
and then she sends her monkey pets after you, one of which is Ramus.
There you go. There you go.
Ah.
What were you saying, Max?
I was gonna say I expect that's the voice I expect Adam to do. Some sort of wicked witch of the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see her and she's green, she's mad because your house landed on her sister.
I've been watching you. You know,
good luck trying to do that over and over and over and over.
As I say, Ramus just conjure water and it's over. So,
yeah. Well, I was just going to mention that, like, it has to be wine from now on because of my madness. Mm-hmm. So I won't have water in my jug to like melt the witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. We're fucked. We're screwed.
Yeah.
Max, I want to mention the killing blow. I felt like that was a bigger deal than maybe we gave it in terms of time or thought for Berg as a character. And if you wanted to kind of expand on that, because the Red Dragon fight was not kind to Berg.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, Berg wasn't in any like real danger, but that it was just Berg felt utterly useless for the first time in a very long while. Mm-hmm. And that kind of fucked with him a little bit.
So I would really like to see. And it's obviously up to you if you want to get rid of that goal or whatever. I'd like to see you stick with the like overcome fear thing. Like I think there's a mini arc. There's an arc there for Berg. And I feel like you can have some really interesting conversations with some of the NPCs in the monastery about like what fear is and how to like. Yeah, I think there's some really good shit there because I really like the theme of balancing rage against fear and how like your fear basically just fucking gave your rage a swirly and you couldn't do it. You were just like, you couldn't bring yourself to enter that state. And I think that's gotta be so unsettling. And I really want to like dig into it.
It is. Yeah. It was super unsettling for Berg. So
yeah, that's something I'm particularly interested in. And if that's something you're digging, then I would love to like kind of push on that a little bit more too.
Yeah. I like the balance or, you know, it makes sense narratively that, I mean, Berg got his, zealous presence, right? Is it zealous presence? No, it's not that. Whichever one he screams with, that I think it's Zealous Presence.
Yes, the aura.
Yep. That was that 10. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes sense narratively that Berg like encounters this fear that he hasn't, you know, that hasn't crippled him to this extent before. I mean, he's been feared before, but not like to this extent. And having that Zealous Presence work in that, like that's Berg's internal combative maneuver or reaction to this fear. You know what I mean? And he's going to try to work on furthering that so that way it's not just like him belting out this frustrating cry, this battle cry. He's going to try to, you know, facilitate that and make that go into more than just being able to actually break free of that, like that suspension of himself during fights. But yeah, that's why it was such a big deal for him in this fight to, even though he got a couple of hits in, like, I mean, he did some decent damage, but he wasn't there for most of the fight. To be able to actually have like the killing blow and knock him down and vent that frustration of just blah, you know?
Yeah.
And then also too, this episode, you know, since he did perceive Ramus's comments to be like, "You've changed. I miss the old Berg where he was like really ragey and powerful."
Yeah.
That's why I was like that glimmer of old fire within Berg kind of peeked through the, you know, the usual like more tame rage. There was like a little bit of old Berg in that last finishing blow. Felt good as a player too to have the last kill. It always feels good to have the last hit.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
And it was epic when you like were like, "Oh, I have 0 hit points. Nope, I'm alive. Nope, 0 hit points. Nope, I'm alive."
Oh yeah, dude. And I love that synergy was so good. Like this character, like Berg. We joked all this time about Berg being undying, but like mechanically, you're getting to a point where you can just tell me to fuck off so many times because it's like you get that saving throw, you failed it, and you're like, "Nope, I'm going to re-roll." You keep it, and then you get to make it again if you drop, and you have the orcish one. And then if Ramus throws the death ward on you, like, I have to kill you, like, 8 fucking times, which is so
cool.
And
even if we do get to that point where we've gotten through all of those hurdles, four death saves instead of three.
That's right. You have the bonus, death save from heaven. Yeah.
Berg, the undying motherfucker.
Well, and this is where we see
the real. Die. That's how it goes.
We see the real differentiation.
I'm so scared.
we see the real differentiation between a fighter and a barbarian, in the sense that barbarians, you're there to tank, right? Like in a rage, you got the half damage going on. Like you can absorb so many hits and take up so much while dealing slightly less damage, but the flame tongue is really helpful. And then Maharib can pump out a bunch of damage, but with only 5 superiority dice, like you can run out pretty fast. So it's cool seeing the two martial classes sort of paired up right next to each other.
We definitely complement each other a lot, especially with that zealous presence that just takes Maharib's actions to a whole new level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that the round where I did like 156, like that was everything that I could do as a character. Every round after that, all I could do was 3 attacks, which is still a lot, obviously, but I don't have any other tricks. So that's why I like burning all those superiority dice in one round can kind of fuck me over if they don't do much in a bigger fight.
I'm excited to see like how, because Maharib has been up against giant enemies. I'm curious to see how he performs with like a group of mid-level enemies.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of them.
It would be, probably not as well. Cause like as we saw that happen, like getting to the monster, I took a lot of damage, but I was able to get it back just from the 3 HP gains that I have. But if I'm taking a shit ton of those attacks every single round, like I think my survivability would go down pretty bad.
Well, and also, like, if you're going up against a group of mid-levels, there's going to be people who can do, like, magic and shit. Like, force wisdom saves and...
I can fear me?
That's the thing about Berg is that he is physically, like, very capable. And actually, you're all kind of in this position where there are certain saves where... Oh, yeah. One or two of you are just fucked. That thing with Berg that happened in the last episode that locked out a whole player for the whole fight. Like that's a very big deal, being able to be like pinned under that for the fight. Mm-hmm. So it like,
well, you have to remember the only reason that I was able to overcome that is because I had a bless and I rolled well in that second round. Like I would have been just as fucked as Berg, maybe not as fucked because he has to roll a 20, I guess, without the bless, or 17 with a 4 on the bless. And I had to roll, I think I get a, I only have a -1, so it's still around the same. But yeah, the second we get into like wisdom and charisma saves, I'm fucked. Like I'm just going to fail all day because I have a -2 and a -1. But on the like other side of that, if I have con saves, then it's much better because I have a +9 to that. So we'll see how it all goes. Bless is going to, I think, become a very common spell that Dan's casting once we get into some of these more save fights.
That's the problem with spells is 5th edition, you can only concentrate on one spell at a time, so I got to choose which one to concentrate on.
Yeah.
So there's a character, there's a, in the most recent book, The Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, there's a dragon, Niv-Mizzet, that has, it can concentrate on 2 spells at a time. He has this ability that lets him like, it's pretty cool. He's like a huge like boss monster, but yeah, he's a spellcasting dragon, and he's got this ability where he can concentrate on like haste and invisibility, or like, you know.
Are you talking about Dungeons and Dragons? You're talking about magic.
It's the same guy. It's that Niv-Mizzet. So they made a book called The Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica. That's like the setting of Ravnica, but as a D&D supplement. The Loxodon, that's where I got the Loxodon from, right? Where we got the Galjaw. In the monster manual part of that, Niv is statted out for 5e, and he is a nightmare.
Nice.
Fuck him.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Yeah, what happens is every time you try to take an action, he deals you 1d10 damage until you just don't want to play anymore.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, you just concede. You just go like, yeah, fuck the Court of Swords. Let's go. There's 3 other courts that we could go to.
Exactly. Nice. My little portrait just blows up and I'm done. Yeah.
Nice.
God damn it. I felt really bad for Dan today because he was like, pop back up, new soul. Yeah. First encounter, like, oh, look, let's look in a mirror. Down again.
That's the sound it made too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We didn't even consider it, like, or know that
it was fine, though. because it's a really cool thing to know that, like, I somehow saw, like, something that no one should see. And
yes,
it's something to, like, explore as a character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was that? Like, I'm curious now, like, what it was and why it happened. And I'll investigate it as one of my goals over time.
Well, and I think this arc has the potential to be the, like, we learn a bunch of secrets about the Mara that we've been asking since the beginning of the campaign,
right?
Fans have always been like, well, what, like, why do they hate heaven? Why are they opposed to the cycle? What is their deal? Like, we don't know anything about them, and we're very slowly, like, learning little things through,
it's almost
through the characters.
Time, for that veil to be lifted.
Well, and
I think
it's pretty cool.
Also, one of the things I really like about how this is turning, how like the story is turning, is something that I learned or was told early on when doing like theater and stuff, is bad guys, they don't think they're bad. That's when you see a good bad guy on a screen or like in a movie or whatever, watch them and consider their motivations. And do they think they're evil? Absolutely not. Like, the Mara are doing what they think is best. Yeah. They're just evil to a lot of people because they might not understand what they're trying to do, or they don't agree with the methods or what have you. But like,
fucking Thanos,
getting into
man.
The mind of the Mara, like, seriously, like, turning it around, like, thinking like, man, I might just side with the Mara here.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough.
I mean, alternatively, look at the player characters of any D&D campaign. They think they're on the righteous path, and they're like out there fucking murdering people. Just fucking murder her.
Absolutely,
So we've
done some
horrible
shit.
Yeah.
I learned early on as like a GM that the best way to make adversaries or antagonists in the game is to give them either abhorrent goals but understandable actions, or understandable goals but abhorrent actions to get them. So like, you want the players to agree, like, yes, heaven is bad, but maybe bringing necromancy barfing giants back from the dead and stomping all around the place is a bad idea, right? Or be like, the thing that you want is bad, but the way you're getting there is actually like beneficial or understandable. And that makes antagonists that aren't just like, he's a cackling supervillain.
Right. That happened today when we saw the sign. Like, I pointed out, like, yeah, that's fucking smart to get people on your side. Might not be the best side, but if I were going to do something like that, I'd use the same exact wording.
Makes total sense, yeah.
Because it's a great way to get the feeble-minded and weak to, you know, join your side, because it makes a lot of sense when you're looking at it from a certain point of view. I'm real curious to see how, like, the next couple of episodes go down in this place, because I think of all the people, like, Berg and Mahareeb are going to have the most trouble here. Probably Berg also, because of his like relationship with heaven. I'm sure he's going to be looked at really different in these parts. So we'll see how that all goes. We need Ramus to get back ASAPly so that we're not just killed on sight. We might just be like, oh, let's kill these two dumb fucks and just take the priest because he's unconscious. So.
Yeah, thanks for bringing him here. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's. I'm very worried about
that. We'll take that, and you guys go into the jail. Bye. Yeah.
And our free ticket is drunk now, so.
You've not talked about the one thing that is so important in this episode.
What's that?
I was wondering if you're going
to
mention this.
You know, Adam knows what I'm about to say.
Oh, the fucking shit that happened with the dead giant.
Yes.
The blast from the fucking past.
You want to weigh in on that, Max? Give your theories and or absolute truths.
I mean, it seemed like it would to me, and I could be wrong and misinterpret the characters, but it seemed like to me our fucking first characters coming back in shadow form being controlled by the goddamn Mara, because, you know, the Mara probably was like, hey, these are of note characters. Why don't we use their essence and stuff instead of going back to the wheel? Why don't you stay with us and, you know, be a part of our shit?
Yeah.
It certainly does seem like that was the case, doesn't it?
How did they die? They died to shadows, right?
To the Mara, yeah. We died horribly to the
shadows.
Mara.
Yep.
So the shadows would have easily just been like, huh, let's just take them.
Well, if you remember, the thing that caused the problem with these shadows
was
that
when
they killed somebody, the dead person became a shadow.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't just let go of them. So it makes perfect sense. And I was like, already when you started describing like them a little bit, I was like, okay, what the fuck is this? And then, you know, I was like, had my suspicions. And then you said the fire hair. I'm like, oh, okay, yep, that's Velimir. That's Shadow Velimir.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fine, though. He'll just hide until the fight's over. Then we'll find him later and kill him. So
it's true. It's his MO. It's what he does.
Yeah. All right. So the ghost like runs out in the open and he can't seem to decide what he's going to do with his action. So he shoots at you with his, he throws a knife. And then he stops and that's his turn.
Yeah.
Get him, Velimir.
No, thank you. I will wait for.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. That'll be great. Mm-hmm. No, that'll be a lot of fun if we ever encounter that trio for sure.
Yeah.
Super neat. Yeah, I think that's everything. We've done a lot of D&Ding. We've done 16 hours in the past 7 days.
Been a lot.
So
right.
Been a lot.
Yeah. While I hate to say it, I'm kind of glad that we have a little bit of a break. Just so I can like think about character growth and kind of like where, because I'm interested in potentially multi-classing. So I'm also interested in exploring this like anger that Mahareeb's had at a couple points in the campaign thus far, and potentially tying that into a new multi-class. So we'll see with the next 2 weeks if I can think of anything that's fun slash interesting and how I'll work.
You can go Barb, huh? You gonna take away Berg's coolness too, huh?
If I go Barb, I get resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing. Like that would be real
nice. Dem's my thing.
That'd be really nice.
but also at this point, the amount of like non-magical bludgeoning, slashing, and piercing you're getting is like,
oh, does that negate it?
Oh yeah, it's only non-magical bludgeoning, piercing.
Oh, now yes. Second part of multi-classing. Because I've never actually multiclassed. Do you still get to choose like a special archetype at level 3 if you multiclass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Something to think about.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to see Mahareeb do that, and then Berg just do the Lisa Simpson like, he's good at everything that makes me special.
I mean that's a real feeling, and it's not good. It's a bummer.
Yeah. I never mentioned this before, but I also was a slave when I was young.
God damn it!
Like, no! That's my thing!
I'll just take the entire Berg backstory and somehow just supplant that.
God, Mahareeb all of a sudden becomes like just the worst orcish cultural appropriator. Like,
I start painting my skin green.
It'd be really cool if you guys called me Morg. That's my name now. That's my orc name.
Just takes out the A and puts an apostrophe in there. So it's Mahareeb.
Yeah.
He's saying goodbye to some orc person that we came into, and he's just like, Molva Freyro.
Stop speaking orcish, you ass! It's my fucking thing.
Yeah, I learned a little orc on the side, man. It's just
good. God damn.
Well, speaking of that, God, how great was that when I smashed the glass and he was like, you get killed for that? I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, no, seriously, we already think you're a badass, bro. It's all good. Like
there have been a couple of moments where I've been like, okay, Mahareeb, you're overcompensating a little bit. Like we get, and he's all like unmoored now, and he's like, no, but this is all I have is this like badass on a quest, and the quest is over.
Totally, yeah.
So it's like, well,
I don't have a quest anymore. Yeah,
it's in pretty the tribe, good. I'm into you'd it. Be dead.
Yeah. oh man, that's why it was so freeing to be like super drunk and just say whatever. Like it was so nice to like just and like challenge him to a fight. Like that was so much fun because I knew he probably wouldn't accept the fight. And if I did actually like land a punch, he would just like bop me on the head, and I'd be like, "Give him fucking mud."
Well, I mean, I said this in play, but I was like, "Man, 68 HP is a lot of HP to go through just to knock him out." It would be a really silly fight of us just going like this to each other, just slapping each other around in front of these like, poor townspeople. Like, what the fuck is going on?
It'd just be Higgs. It'd be Higgs strangling that dude again.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100%. It would just be that awful. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you're in a fight, you got to get someone to zero to knock him out.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I thought there was like a different HP system for like knocking someone out non-lethally, but I guess there's not.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why it would have sucked. either way. Like, if I missed, you'd have to chew through all the HP, and still, I would have to make a ton of attacks.
Well, so. I'm just saying, like, you hack at me with a sword until I'm, like, close, and then you bop me.
Yeah. But that's the weird thing about D&D is, like, you can just choose on the final attack where it's like...
It's the final hit.
Oh, yeah. I don't hit him with the sharp side of my sword. Like, that's lame.
Yeah, you just Xena Warrior Princess that shit at the last minute.
Right, yeah. I don't know. That's kind of lame, I think. But, oh well, that's D&D. Cool. All right, we're good. We're going on a two-week break. We'll be back in February with more Court of Swords. Thank you guys so much for all the support. I don't think there's anything else. I guess look forward to a Patreon update that me and Adam recorded and shot this afternoon. That'll probably be in the next week or so. Some things are going to change on Patreon, and we'll be doing a little bit more content. So look forward to that. That's it, though, for us. We're going to get out of here. We'll return in a post-Kingdom Hearts 3 world, and me and Dan will truly know.
Please be good.
Please, yeah. Let's just keep chanting. Let's end the show chanting it. All five of us. Here we go.
No.
Please be good.
No.
I don't want it.
No, I want it to be bad, and I want you to be salty as fuck.
Please be good.
I want your childlike wonder of this game to be crushed.
Please be good.
I want you to get Norded. I want you to get Norded.
Do you know what that means?
Yes. The main bad guy takes over people.
Spoilers. We're out. Bye-bye.
Bye.